This morning in the class, some of you were here, we talked about the providence of God. And what we did is we went to the story of Esther and talked about the things in that book that manifest to us the great providence of God, and emphasizing the fact that God still works in that marvelous way today. And as we saw how God worked in Esther's life, we wanted to conclude and didn't have a lot of time to do it, but you all can do that in your own application, that God is still working in the same way today. We are impressed with how he used Esther and how he used Mordecai and how God worked things out no matter what happened. And I mean, that's what we talked about. Things just happen. And it seems like, you know, nobody has any control. But God has control over all things. Whatever God's purposes are, he will accomplish. And he'll do it in a way that we won't even be able to figure out until it's all over. And maybe we look back after some years have even passed, say, you know, we look back and, you know, God worked some marvelous things out in our life. And we're always praying about that. We need to continue to have confidence in that. Well, that's what we want to do here, is we want to talk about providence again. I guess I'll look at it up here. Every time you're preaching somewhere, things are set up a little bit differently. You know, the providence of God in mind that I brought, I thought it was blue. This is red. That's okay. But this is a statement we had in our last lesson during the class period. In our life experiences, at various times, something very significant occurs. All of us know that. Things go on and on and on, and just everyday sort of things. And there's some things we hope for, there's some things we want, and so forth. But basically, every day, like today, what will be unusual? What will be different? And well, just be the same everything, and things just continue on. But once in a while, something different happens. We're not really sure why, but something a little bit different happens. But as time goes on, after a year, two, three, four, five, six, you know, then all of a sudden, something happens that we look back, oh boy, some of those few things that occurred, that's how this all came to be. And we're so thankful for it. And so God is working in ways that we do not know, and we always need to be very confident of that. So that's what this statement is about, is things just go on and on and on, but all of a sudden something very significant happened. We are able to look back on it and recognize what it was leading up to. God knows all things beforehand, and he works his purposes. That's the way it has always been, and that's the way it will always be. So what we want to do is look at Joseph this time during the sermon. This morning we looked at Esther, and I just put that up to be brief with it. But comparison of the situation in their life, both in a sense were orphans. In fact, I'm seeing this is different than what it was on my, but it works out fine. Both were orphans in a sense. Esther lost her mother and father. They passed away. And Mordecai, her cousin, then adopted her and so forth. But Joseph, he had a father, had a mother and so forth, but his mother had passed away. And when his father was still alive, he was sold by his brothers. So in a sense, he became an orphan, different. Both were aliens. Joseph was a Jew, and down in Egypt, those people were looked down upon very much in Egypt. But still things worked out so good. And Esther was a Jew, and same thing with regard to her. In the land of Persia. And they both severely were challenged in their lives. We know and talked about Esther, and we all know that. We know the story of Joseph. Severely challenged. Comparison in their faith. Both committed themselves to God. Both ultimately were elevated in a fantastic way. Comparison in the providential experiences. We talked about Esther's this morning. We're going to look at that this morning now with regard to Joseph and the things that occurred in his life. And there was a lot of providential experiences that occurred. Now, there were a couple of things that we would consider to be miracles when he interpreted dreams. All the other things that were occurring were things that just, again, happened, and God was working out his purposes that he had with regard to the Jews. We talked about this morning with regard to Esther. What was going on there was when the Jews were trying to be destroyed by Haman. It was right after the Jews had built their temple and had completed that, after they were taken out of captivity and brought back home and such a wonderful thing. But it looked like for what Haman was going to do, everything was going to be destroyed again. But he was saved. And with regard to Joseph and what he is able to accomplish is to save God's people and brought them to a circumstance, actually down in Egypt, where they were able to grow and grow and grow as a nation. And then, of course, the Egyptians, the king rose that knew not Joseph, and they were put into a captive situation again, servitude and so forth, and they endured that. But because of what had happened before that, they had grown into a mighty nation, a great nation. And ultimately, God will, after 400 years, He will bring them out and take them to the land that He promised Canaan that they would have. So God had His purpose, hundreds, thousands of years in advance. God is always working out His purposes. Today I wonder, and I'm sure you all do, maybe I wonder about it more sometimes because what's going on politically in our nation and the environment of it, how everything is going downhill and so much, is the Lord going to come sooner, sometime? I don't know, maybe another 1,000 years, but I do think about sometimes, someday the Lord is going to come, and I think about His coming on the clouds and so forth. God is still working that purpose. It is ultimately going to come. And things are going on all the time in which God is bringing things together to bring about His purposes and the end result of it in the salvation of His people on an eternal basis. Anyway, their faithfulness, their courage, and their purity was no accident. It was who they were. So we want to look at Joseph with regard to his life. And this is just, we're going to have to very quickly go through it with regard to our time. Don't have time to go through his whole life, and we had to hurry through Esther just like that. But we want to draw some things from that. And what we want to say before we begin to look at just the overall life of Joseph is, as a young man, he was one of the most finest characters, one of the most admired characters in all of the Bible. There were many of them. But when I think of young people, I think that the story of Joseph, and I'm sure when I was a young person, people sat down with us kids and we studied through the life of Joseph. We looked at all the things that happened and so forth. But when you're a teenager, when you're 13, 14, 15, and on up, during those years, take some time and look at this life of Joseph, because he was such a wonderful example in so many ways. And there'll be some things that you will get and put into your life in a very, hopefully, very effective way that will help you build your life and enable God to use you in fantastic ways, because you sit down and you reflect on it from a more mature standpoint as to what Joseph and what his character was and how that can bring the character, the same kind of character, to your life, and how God can use our life in such a wonderful way. And so he was a fantastic young man. We start out here looking at Joseph. I have the first thing was his dream. But of course he was born, Genesis chapter 13. That's when he was born. He was the 11th son. And then finally in chapter 35, Benjamin, the last son, was born, and his mother Rachel died. Rachel had two sons only, and the others were by the handmaid and so forth. But these two sons by Rachel were very special to Jacob. Jacob was given the name of Israel as well, and so forth. And so that led to a circumstance where Jacob loved Joseph so much above all the other sons, probably because he was born of Rachel, but maybe because in some ways as a young man he paid attention to some things. He paid attention to Jacob better. I don't know what it was, but he loved him very much. And of course he's the one that Jacob made that coat of many colors for. And the other boys didn't get it. I grew up with four brothers, and nobody made a favorite coat for one of us. I don't know if that had happened, what we'd have done, and I don't ever remember being jealous of the other brothers of mine and so forth. But what happened to Joseph was, well, that's a very difficult thing to be living with. And I don't know whether he understood that he had the coat of many colors, and did he see their faces and how they boy, who does Dad think he is compared to us? And man, they were just, but they probably tried to keep it hidden until Joseph has a couple of dreams, and you know about those. He had a dream where he and his brothers were out, and they were tying sheaves together and so forth, and his sheaf was, he tied it together, and it was standing up tall. The other boys were tying theirs together, and all of a sudden they came up to Joseph's sheaf, and they just all bowed down before his sheaf. And who do you think you are? You think you're going to have dominion over us? So their hatred against him just increased more. And the next night he had the dream after that. I don't know, he didn't grasp it. Boy, I see what those guys said. I better not tell them this dream that I had. But he has another dream. This time he sees, but it was, again, it was such a fantastic dream, it's probably kind of hard to hide it. And so he tells it, and his dad is there and all his brothers, and I saw the sun and the moon and the stars, 11 stars, bowing down before me. Ooh. Even his dad says, Joseph, what are you saying that all of us one of these days you're going to have dominion over all of you? We're all going to bow down before you. And the text goes ahead and says, but he kept it in his mind. He's such a good young man, such a charactered young man, that I wonder if God is going to use him in some special way. His brothers, the anger is just even worse, and so they want to somehow destroy him, and so the occasion occurred. As we move on down, he was sold as a slave. He went out. Dad said to go. Of course, he told four of the boys did that he was with one day, and they were doing something out there taking care of the sheep. They weren't doing the right thing. He come home and told his dad. Dad probably got on him about it, and they knew that Joseph was the one to tell the story. So that made it worse. But now he comes out. Dad says, "Go out and check, see how they're all doing." So he leaves Hebron, goes up to Shechem, and they weren't there anymore. They had moved on up to Dothan, and from the time it's 70 miles away from where he left. And that's when his brother saw him, 70 miles away from where Dad is. And we want to kill him. And so what they decided to do is most of them decided they were going to kill him and throw him in a pit. And of course, when they were thinking about doing that, it was Reuben that thought, no, he told them, we can't shed blood like this. Let's throw him in the pit. But let's not shed blood. That they understood that would not be a right thing to do. But you know what? He had some brothers that didn't think much about that. That's all right. We'll just kill them. So what? They didn't have a lot of character in them. We want to watch their lives a little bit too. We don't have a lot of time to do it. But they're ultimately going to change. Things are going to happen. And they're ultimately going to change. And God is going to use Joseph in this whole process. They don't realize it now. Joseph doesn't realize it. But when they saw the Ishmaelites coming, a group of people that head down to Egypt and sell stuff, myrrh and aloes and all that, then they say, hey, let's make some money out of this. Instead of just leaving them in the pit, let's make some money, sell them. So they sold them for 20 pieces of silver. Joseph was there, I'm sure. He sees this 20 pieces of silver handed over to these guys. That's my brothers. If my brothers had sold me, you know, and what would I have thought? And so that's on his mind, difficult stuff going on that he sees this happen, and he gets sold, and the Ishmaelites take him off, and they say, alright, the brothers say, alright, let's kill a goat, let's take his blood and throw it all over his coat, take that to Dad and say, Dad, is this his coat? And an animal came and killed him, and it's going to be 22 years before he'll ever see his son again, but he doesn't think he ever will. He doesn't know what happened, but he thinks he knows what happened because of what the brother said. And those brothers are going to have to live with this year after year after year, what they did. And as you get older and begin to recognize things in your life, I wish I'd never had done that. But you can't undo it. And could they go and tell their dad? No. This is tough stuff. So his life moves on. And Israel was deceived by his own boys, and 22 years. And then the success in Potiphar's house. When he's taken down to Egypt, then he was brought in. He was sold as a slave to this man Potiphar, who was captain of the guard. And so he was a very important man in Egypt. And of course, when he was taken off as a slave, he was probably put in some fetters there, you know, and had to deal with that. And then he goes, though finally to Potiphar's house, becomes a servant. Well, what kind of man is this Joseph? I tell you what, he has no problem with being a servant. He was a servant of his father, actually. Did the things that his father wanted him to do and so forth. I'm sold by Potiphar. But I think on the way from Palestine, coming down, down through the Philistine territory and down into Egypt, what was on his mind all that time? What had happened? Will he ever see his dad again? How could this have ever happened to me? Why? And we think of people, always say, why God? Why God? And that can just flat destroy people's lives. But he gets there and he sold his life to Potiphar, and he just doing everything he can. And so he is such a fine servant that Potiphar said, man, this guy's better than anybody here. This man can run my household. And he puts him in charge of his household over everything. The only person that he's not in charge over is Potiphar himself. Wow. He could do that after these terrible things that happened in a foreign land, where actually because he's a Jew, he's looked down upon. But he's such a great character and puts such diligence in his life. This is what he does. That's what will happen to anybody. That's why younger people, they get older, how am I going to deal with my life from here on? Even when bad things happen to me, how will I deal with that? Will I just kind of give up and give in and give out, or what? And so Joseph doesn't. But then after he does that, Potiphar's wife is so enamored by his good looks, I guess, and all that, that she tries to seduce him. And he doesn't want to do that. And finally one day she catches him out there all by himself, or somewhere by himself, grabs him and tries to force him to lay with her. And he's in a position, he can't do anything else but just leave his coat and get out of there. His cloak and get out of there. And when he does, then, boy, she's so angry. She tells Potiphar when he comes back, this Jew, and that tells you what they were thinking of Jews in Egypt, this Jew has tried to lay with me. And so, boy, he attacked me and all that sort of thing. The strange thing to me about it is that Potiphar doesn't put him to death. I don't think that would have been any problem. He could have said, all right, you are going to be put to death. But he doesn't. He puts him in prison. Kind of makes me think that maybe Potiphar knew his wife a little bit, and therefore he was not going to do that to him. And Joseph was such a good man. Scratched his head. How could I wonder? So he was saved, and he was put into prison. But here he was, the person in charge of everything in Potiphar's house, how important he was, and now he's put in prison. In Psalms, I think it's 105, in the section 105, that Psalm is talking about the history of the Jews and what God put them through, from Abraham, and brings up Joseph and down to Moses and so forth. Joseph comes up because God used Joseph in a very special way. Now, was Joseph ever thinking about that kind of thing? We don't know. I'm kind of jumping ahead with some things because I'm going to bring up some character points here. But he's put in prison, very difficult circumstances. After that, in prison, the butler and the baker, you remember, was put in prison because they'd done something. I don't know what it was. Some kind of evil. And they were both put in prison. And then one evening, both of them had a dream. Or one evening, one had a dream and another one had a dream. And they come in. Joseph, when he hears that, and that's, I haven't been looking at this, that's in Genesis chapter 40, where this is going on, if you're following in your text, Genesis 40. And in verse 8 it says, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. I had forgotten, Joseph was put in charge of the whole prison. He was the one in charge of everything. The prison jailer, the one that was in charge of it, says, you will be put. He was the only one over Joseph, but Joseph was over everybody else. So any of these prisoners, they got a problem, they're going to come to Joseph. We had a dream. And obviously that dream really caught their attention. And say, we had a dream, but we don't know what it meant. And there's none that can interpret it. They probably have been asking others. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Every time faithful Jews were in whatever country they were, in whatever circumstances they were, they brought God to life in their life. They let other people know about their faith, just like we do today. And we're supposed to do today. Let people know we're Christians. There are a lot of people today, if they find out you're a Christian, it's a very negative thing to them. They will look negatively at you for it and the beliefs that you have. But we ought to continue to do that. And when they watch and see our life, they should become impressed. Well, they follow Jesus. You know, when I look at their life and I look at my life, you know, it seems like maybe he's somebody that I ought to pay attention to. That's what went on with these faithful Jews wherever they were. That's what goes on with you and I today. And we need to realize that. Just let them know what kind of a character person you are, and God will be given the glory and the honor. So he says that. It's not me that can do it, but God can. So he interprets the butler's dream and the baker's dream. And of course, the baker is the one that the interpretation of that dream is, you're going to be put to death. You're not going to go back to your job. But the butler, his dream, and I won't go into it, but because of his dream that he interpreted for that, he says, you will be brought back in as the butler, as the king's butler again, and serve under him. And Joseph just asked one simple thing. Just let Pharaoh know. You know, when you get back there to him, just let him know about me. What kind of person? How I helped you out. He thought that would make. What happened with the butler? He gets back and not one word. Was it because Jews were looked down upon? You know, a lowly person of society and so forth? No, but he certainly didn't say anything for at least a couple of years. And then we go from there to Pharaoh has the dreams. And those were the dreams with regard to the famine that was going to come. And that's in chapter 41. And there was the lean, there was the fat cows and the lean, skinny cows. And there were seven of the fat cows and seven of the lean. The seven of the fat cows and someday the seven lean cows come, we eat those fat cows up. What is this? What is this all about? And then there, same thing with regard to the sheaves and so forth. And there were the full ones and there were the ones that were weak and the ones ate up the other. And what does this all mean? Pharaoh had no idea. Now, in Pharaoh's court, he had a lot of religious people that knew. I didn't need this in my hand today. Had a lot of people that said they could interpret dreams, that the gods were with them and so forth. So he went to them. Nobody. That's interesting. They didn't even fake an interpretation. Whether they were afraid to do so before, that's something pretty significant. And they didn't say it. And then finally the butler, whether he was looking for some kind of favor, or, I forgot about Joseph. He can't do it. So he told Pharaoh about it. Now, how long has this been since Joseph was put in prison? 10 to 11 years, at least? He was put in prison. He'd been in prison all that time. Now, if that had been you in your life, you're 17, you get to be 18 and 19, then you're sold first, and then you're put in prison at that age, and you're there for 10, 11 years. What can your life can come to be? And I always wonder, during that time, he was put in chains probably initially, until in irons, the psalmist makes mention of that, until finally they saw what a great young man he was and how capable he was, so he was put in charge of everything. But that's the kind of thing that he did. And so he's able to be brought out of prison. And on that day, what? Pharaoh wants me to come? He'd been waiting and waiting. Remember Psalms chapter 40, wait upon the Lord. They that renew their strength shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Just wait upon the Lord. He has been doing that. He has been a person of faith. He's doing a job in the prison. And he's doing it tremendously well. Whatever I'm doing was what Joseph was. He was like a cork. You know, we've all done that. I remember we used to have one place where we lived. We had a swimming pool. And it was kind of a fun thing to go out there and get corks, you know. Take those corks, bring them down to the bottom of that pool. And then let them go. Boom! They pop back up. Here they are. You couldn't keep those corks underneath that water. They're going to come up every time. That's exactly the kind of person that Joseph was.
That's exactly the kind of people we can be, no matter what difficult things happen in life. If we keep our trust in God and wait upon the Lord and say, where is this all going? And in the meantime, what do? Pray to God and keep on doing the very best that I can do. That was him.
And so he did that. And so as a result of that, he told the dream. And Pharaoh heard that. He said, you ought to put somebody in charge and figure out how to take care of things during the years of plenty so that you could have food left over for the famine. And it was going to be a famine that was all over the world. Going to go up into Palestine, as we know, with regard to where Joseph's family was living. And so he put him in charge of it. And then he gave him a princess to marry. And he had a child. One child was named Manasseh. The Lord helps me to forget. He called him that for a reason. Look what the Lord has done. He's helped me to forget all of that. And whether he'll ever see his dad again, he'll ever see his brothers again, he can now move on and forget that. And sometimes that's what we have to do in life. It's difficult to do sometimes. It just stays with us and stays with us and keeps dragging us down, until we kind of fail. I just put my trust in God. And then when God blesses up in some special ways, oh, wow, I can forget about it and move on without that dragging maybe somewhere in the back of my mind. So he did that. Then Ephraim had to do with being fruitful. So God is going to help him to be fruitful. Here, look what God has done for him. And then he became the savior of the world, as it were. Through God, God used him because he's going to provide a plan that will enable people from not only Egypt, but up in Palestine, other places as well, to come down when they don't have any food at all. It's prepared for them in Egypt. How many people would have died? The Jewish people, his family, if they had died, would there have been an Israelite nation that would someday live in Palestine and own that whole territory and have kings, and through them would the Messiah would come? It never happened. This family has got to be saved. Who did God use? Joseph. How could he use Joseph with all these things that happened to him? Because of the kind of person that he is. And so with this, we just look, Joseph's story reveals that even though we cannot control circumstances, and we can't, we try to, but we can't control all circumstances, we can't control how we respond to those circumstances. How do I deal with them? How do I respond to them? And so we see these pictures very quickly of Joseph, and where he had the coat of many colors and his brothers hating him. And then they sell him as a slave. He has to go through that and so forth. Travel down. What was on his mind all that time going to Egypt, thinking about all this that happened? But the end of the story brings Joseph back to his place where he is over all of Egypt. Pharaoh is the only one that is over him. And he's finally brought back to his brothers, and there's a wonderful experience. And he sees not only has he been a very faithful person, but these brothers of his, he now comes to understand they've got some character like I never saw before. And it just comes to a climatic scene when finally he gets to see his family again. God worked all that out in all these things that happened for one reason, because of the kind of character he is. Joseph always made the best of everything. I mean, that's a very important, simple as it can be. But that's a very important thing for us all, no matter what's going on, no matter what happens. Make the best of it with your trust in God. And let God work it out from there. And great, wonderful things can happen in our lives. So let's look. There are seven things. Now, do I have 15 more minutes? Seven things. That doesn't give me a lot of time. But we talked about it some enough that we'll be able to see it. We could spend a lot more time. And you young people, you might want to write these down and reflect on them. Think about them. But how do we overcome life challenges? Let's look at Joseph's character. Joseph basically, this is a part of his character. When bad things, I will face whatever comes in life with determination. From one end of his life to the other. That's very clear, isn't it? Just total determination on his part. Things changed abruptly often, I mean, that business of being sold as he was. How could, you know, a person as a brother, and all these other boys, brothers do that to him, how could he ever lift his face up again? But what he did is he always faced it with determination. He moved forward. I think about, I don't know when Job was written, the book of Job. People say, well, maybe during the time of Abraham when he was living, and we know the trials he went through. Maybe some things were written down about that. Maybe Joseph got some chance to read some of that. I would never got help by that. I don't know. But what he did is he demonstrated that fantastic determination on his part that ultimately Job was able to come to. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. He didn't faint. When adversity comes, how strong are you? You see this guy out here lifting weights. How strong is he? Well, it looks like he's got the muscles. But when we really know, it's when he goes down here and cries out, it's adversity, right? And he goes up and he's got it. In a spiritual sense, that's exactly, we may not have much of this, but spiritually, do we have those kind of muscles? We show it when people say, oh, wow, I just am amazed. Some older people, you come up to them, they ask me, Lewis, how you doing? Well, I'm trying to get along. I'm trying to get by here. You know. And then an older person, you hear somebody walk up to another older person, Ralph, how you doing? I'm doing great. Oh, there's a difference. There's an attitude that we've got to watch. I have to, you know. And so forth. But what kind of strength do we have? If we keep on going. So that's the first thing. There's other things we could talk about, but don't really have the time. But do think about that. He faced everything with determination, and how many thoughts had to be on his mind. Secondly, his purpose, his way to deal with things is, I will not become bitter. Extremely important. I will not become bitter. First thing that comes to our mind, bitter to who? Brothers. And that I know of in that account, from one end to the other. I know he was rough on them when he first saw them when they came down. But he was just trying to check them out, see what's going on, see what's happening, and so forth. But he's not being bitter. He never was. Isn't that something? Then we look at our lives today and somebody does something to us and boy, you know, bitterness comes up. And sometimes it just continues on and on. And with the bitterness, you know, there's this anger and all that. And we just don't deal with things right. Joseph was determined not to become bitter. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, passage that we all familiar with, verse 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun... be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So, have you ever gotten angry? I have. You lose it. And did you give place to the devil? Yeah. I know the devil is always, but I don't think about it all the time, you know? And someday something happens, and right at this time, maybe if I wake up on that morning and say, Lord, help me not to express and be angry today about anything. Maybe there's something in the past that might come up again. No, help me never to go back and to be angry like that. And but you don't have a thought about it today, and then something happens, and boom. Be angry and sin. Yeah, I said. Let not the devil. Neither let the devil take his place upon you. So that's what we got to do. In fact, in Ephesians 4 here, go ahead and read that. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there in there. No bitterness. Don't let it come. Nor anger, nor clamor. You know, that's with our mouth. And what comes out of our mouth? Malice. You know, we're just going to do bad. But instead, the very opposite end. Well, that's somebody. Can you think of Joseph and his brothers? I don't think he sat in prison and we thought about, he hated what they did. But I don't think he sat there and built up malice
and anger and wrath in his heart. If he had of, he'd have destroyed himself, and he could have done the wonderful things he did. He would have had the strength, the character, the inward nature to be able to do those things. He'd have been coming apart. That didn't happen to him in his life. That's very important.
You read something like that in Ephesians, and it's easy, in 100 different places, shift back in the Old Testament, if you can, and you'll find there's a perfect example of it. Well, we move on then. With regard to this, by the way, with regard to bitterness, it could have been toward Potiphar, it could have been toward his wife, certainly, but we never even express, even the butler, perhaps he could have done something like that. But thirdly, I will give the best I have no matter what. That's what he did. He gave the best he had to his dad. When he was sold, he gave the best he had to Potiphar. When he was put in prison, he gave the best he had to the prisoner, the guy that was in charge of the prison. And look, you know, all the good things that happened to him. He always did the best that he had, no matter what. And then when he was finally taken out and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, what happened? He became a servant, really, to the nation of Egypt and other nations around that. He was a very fine servant. We think of passages like in Ephesians 6, 1 Peter 2, talks about the kind of servants we should be, even when certain things happen to us that people are trying to destroy us. But then in 1 Peter 2, he brings up, what about Jesus? He came to be our servant. Look how they treated him. Look how they dealt with him. But he continued to be the finest servant there ever was. And Paul said, I see that, and that's the kind of servant I'm going to be in many others. And that's the way we need to be. That's all the way back to the Old Testament, Joseph. That's the kind of servant he was. He always did the very best he could, no matter what. And look at the things that happened to him in his life. Proverbs 22:29, see a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before obscure men. That's exactly what happened to Joseph, isn't it? Other proverbs that could go along with that. Picking up another one. I will rule my passions. Well, that obviously takes us, it could have been the passions of anger and so forth. He ruled that and so forth. And we carry that all the way through, all the way down to Potiphar's wife. I will rule my passions. This time not so much about anger after what she did and so forth. Could have been anger back, but he ruled that. But he ruled his passion when she comes up to me and says, lie with me. You know, what, he's 18, 19, somewhere around there? And very good looking man and so forth. Surely had strong sexual desires at that age in life. We all, men do. And so forth. And this woman probably had to be a very good looking woman. Come in and trying to entice him. And he could have said, you know what? Look at how my life is. This would be a wonderful experience. But did he say, I can't do this because that would be sinning against Potiphar? Well, it would be. And he would have certainly thought that. I can't do this and sin against you. This is not the right thing. I can't encourage you to do something like this. But when we go, and you all know it, let me go on over. He says, I cannot do this and sin against God. So when he brings up, you know, God in various times that he has, so, and this point is a very important point. I'm trying to look at the passage where that was. Let's see, Pharaoh. Oh, that was before that. I'm sorry. I can't do this in chapter 39. In verse 9, he says, I can't, well, I'll just read it. I neither, with regard to Potiphar, he has not kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. So everything in that whole household was his. He could use it. He could go out and spend money. He could use this and that and the other, but not his wife. He says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against, I thought he said Potiphar, sin against God, which is one of the most important things when we're younger. I think of a proverb over in Proverbs chapter 4, 14 and 15. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and walk not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass on. That's one of the most important passages for young people and all of us as we continue to grow. Is when we go by and there's some temptation that comes, there it is over there. That's a pathway. Pass by it. Move on. Don't walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. What do I have? I don't think of something else to do. Think of some other place to go. Think of some other people you can be with. But do something else. But don't go there. Keep you from sexual sins. Keep you from drunkardness. All my friends over there. Keep you from gambling. Keep you from so many other things in life. That's exactly the way Joseph was. But it's because that no matter what, it'd be like driving in the car and somebody gets up and makes you mad and you see them. But what Joseph would have seen is, I see God sitting right next to me. God was there standing next to him no matter where he was. Whatever was going on, God was always in the picture. He was always in the room. And we all think of, I can think of things that I've done in the past, sins that I've committed. I wasn't thinking about God being in the room. My mind went someplace. Now, when you get through with it, oh, I sinned. Now God comes in the room. No. Develop the kind of faith and service toward God. Trust in Him that He is always there. Bring Him into your life on a constant basis. Well, there's a lot of things with regard to that that connect to that. Let's just go on to number 5. And he says, I will not despair. And when I think of that, he didn't despair in the prison house. He didn't despair because of what his brothers did. He didn't despair when he got irons put around his leg. He didn't despair when the butler didn't. What? Nothing's come back from the butler. Nothing come back. He didn't despair. He kept on going. And that's because he trusted God all the way through. And as I say, probably remembers those dreams. God showed me those dreams, and I think God is going to work out through me some very special thing one of these days. I'm not going to despair. I'm going to continue on. I'm going to wait upon the Lord. I'm going to continue in the right pathway until I see what that is. And ultimately for all of us, when the Lord comes again, and all of a sudden, if we're still alive, woo! All of a sudden, we're caught, and our bodies change, and you see people coming out of the grave, and some of them, they are being lifted up. That's the way it all finally comes about. Don't despair. Never despair. That will be the final wonderful thing in entering in the heavenly realm. Woo! We have every reason never to despair. And I will be humble. With regard to being humble. Remember Haman? We studied about him in Esther. He wasn't anywhere close to humble humility. He did not do that. And when he thought something was going to happen, it was for him, but it was for somebody else, man, he just crashed him. But Joseph, he was humble when he was sold to Potiphar. He was humble when he was kicked out by his wife and put in prison. He was humble. When he told interpretations of the dream, humility. He told Pharaoh, it's not me, it is God who does this. Don't put the credit upon me. God has told me about these things. And he was put in the position he was because of what God did, and he knew that. But he was going to be humble as a servant. Whether it was on this side over here, a lowly servant, or whether he's going to be over here, and he is the servant to Potiphar. He didn't get proud. He didn't get egotistical. He just worked out a plan and made everything possible. And then finally, I will not seek vengeance. The day came when his brothers were there. No vengeance. He was harsh with them a bit to find out what was going on. And you know the story. They got their money back. They bought the food and put the money back in their bags. And they got home and found, oh no, we're in big trouble. We can't go back there. Well, they ran out of food. They had to do it again. But Joseph said, you've got to bring back your brother. After the second time they came and they put money back in the food. And then
Benjamin was one that put his cup in his bag. And what he learned, just some wonderful things, what he learned, okay, Benjamin's going to have to stay here. And they told him, oh, Dad would be upset at that. And he heard Judah come in and say, I will stay here, send him back to your dad. You could think. And then when Reuben, even at that time, when Reuben earlier, when he's listening to what he said, I told you boys, you know, we should have never done this. Now his blood has come upon our hands and so forth. Look what God is finally bringing. These brothers all the way through their life was expecting someday we're going to get the consequences of what we did. And when this happened, and it looks like now we're in big trouble with Othello underneath Pharaoh, we are going to be killed. Finally, justice has come upon us. That's what they thought. But Joseph heard that. Oh, these boys have changed in their character. And it all led them to their going back and getting Dad. And the dad heard of it. What? He is still alive? And his name is Israel. And probably will not take the time to read it, but in chapter... I'll get back over there. And you might want to read it later, but it just has to do with Jacob, that Israel took his journey in chapter 46, verse 1, and God spake unto Israel. And what God was telling him, there's a purpose in this. I am God. And I'm sending you back down in this land so that you can develop and grow and become more powerful, so that the day will come that you will be able to enter in the land of Palestine. You will own that land. I will give it to you. Ah. I mean, isn't that something wonderful? Jacob, now, way back there when Joseph had those dreams, here we are bowing down before him. He's the only guy underneath Pharaoh, just below Pharaoh, and everything else is under his hand. And we come and we bow down before him. That dream came. God worked out his purpose. But how did he do it? In some fantastic ways? Not just things that happened, some very difficult, despairing, challenging things that could bring a lot of despair and just end our life with terrible feelings. It ended up in this wonderful thing. And so those are some important. There may be some others as well. But he was not a man that would ever seek after vengeance. So we just go to the conclusion. Joseph always had God in all of his circumstances, no matter what was going on. So just a picture to kind of focus. We know what was in that boy's mind and why good things happen. Here Joseph set everything in order with God's help and trust in his providence. He was trusting God. And as a result of it, he set so many things in order. God was behind him. I have other Job, prophets, Paul, many of them, Jesus. All these characteristics were there, and with Jesus was greater than anybody else. I have there, he trusted in God at least 20 times, if you'll underline it. God is mentioned in the circumstance that comes up. It just kept coming up. God was working through it. If someday somebody could write a book about us, and over throughout our life, God was working this, God was working this. I think of some stories I hear from Larry, you know, over the years as he was growing up and came to the gospel and thought, God was working things in his life. Other fellows that we went to class with there in Kirkland, they would tell stories. God was doing things. And it's great when you get around a number of people because you start hearing, oh, and come back to yourself and start thinking, and, oh yeah, yeah. You know, I haven't thought enough about that. That's what God does. So Joseph gave his best. That's just something that somebody had. Joseph gave his best. So what is that? Always sought to build. Always sought to enjoy what he was able to enjoy. Didn't get that thrown away because of bad things happened. Always suffered no matter what the circumstances were. And always was true to God in his trust of God. That's how to live a character of life. Pretty simple. In Psalms 107, it's just one that talks about give thanks to God for his loving kindness is forever. It never ends. It'll never end in our life if we're faithful to him. We end here with a couple of statements where he doesn't change anything. Oh, so I look at us older folk. We know that, don't we? Do I still worry some? Do I get... Yeah.
But it doesn't change anything. My computer still crashed. And all the worry you can do just does not bring about a good thing. But trusting God changes everything. Just keep on trusting God and do whatever you can under the circumstances that come. And Psalm 62, 5 and 6. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. The psalmist wrote that. Joseph could have written that. And so many others. I hope that at the end of our lives, and even now, that we can write those same kind of things. And our life can be the very best that it can possibly be because we allow God to work in our life. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. Just, you've heard a lesson from the Word of God. The other preachers could have done a whole lot better, but just drawing it from the Word of God, you can't help, no matter who you are. You can bring out, if you bring out what the Bible says, you say, you know what? I need to be in that Bible. And God is alive. And when I see how living a word, this Bible is when I read it, oh boy, that is all such fantastic stuff for us to learn. It's needful for us. You know why? Because the God who had it written and inspired people is alive. So if you're not with God today, if you're not in Christ, if you have not heard the gospel and know how to become a Christian through believing and then being baptized, washing away your sins in the blood of Christ, I hope you have it in your heart. You know, that's what I want to do. That's what I've got to do. If you're here and would desire to do that this time, we'd encourage you to do so. But if you want to do it later, just move down that path. Let us stand and sing.